Good morning, everybody. This is Talking About the Law. My name is Frank Riccio, and I'm your host this morning. Talking About the Law is a radio program that covers cutting-edge topics in the law. Today's program is actually brought to you by the Law Offices of Frank J. Riccio, located in Braintree, Mass. My website is www.frankjriccio.com. This topic today is going to be about nursing liability. And I'm very fortunate to have as my guest today Abigail Williams, who is a trial attorney here in Worcester. She's located at 446 Main Street, and her phone number is 508-795-1955. Her website is www.medical-law.com. Abigail is not only a registered nurse, but she also has a master's in emergency planning and preparedness and has a master's in public health from Harvard. Good morning, Abigail.
Hi there.
Let me ask you, does your firm handle nursing liability cases?
Absolutely. We have a general liability practice, but I focus myself on nursing liability issues and medical malpractice in nursing home.
How does your background in nursing and help you in evaluating these cases?
Well, I'm very fortunate that I read the medical records myself. I know what the standards of care are. I've remained clinically active and involved in academic research and publication in the nursing field. So when a case comes in, I can say, well, the standard of care is X, and is that reflected in the medical record?
And what's involved in handling a nursing liability case?
Well, I think, first of all, when a client comes in, you have to figure out if the injury that they're complaining of was caused by nursing or if nursing was just a little cog in this chain here. So you have to review the medical records and look at the nursing documentation and say, did the nurses do and document what they were supposed to do in any given situation?
And in terms of nursing liability, what type of cases are we talking about? How are nurses involved in malpractice?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, nursing has come a long way since I started way back in the, well, very long time ago. Nurses are very highly trained and well-educated professionals. They are relied upon to do patient assessment, patient monitoring, to communicate with physicians when there has been a change with the patient or a concern that they have. They delegate certain jobs to non-licensed personnel like certified nursing assistants. So they have a lot of roles.
And what are, you know, we hear the word RN, we hear the word LPN, we hear certified nursing assistants, we hear the terminology nurse practitioners. What are the differences in terms of those categories?
A certified nursing assistant is someone who's had a course of training and passed a test in an individual state. They do more hands-on patient care. They are not able to give medications. They are able to take vital signs and do some observation of the patient, but technically not assess a patient. A licensed practical nurse, or LPN, sometimes it's LVN, licensed vocational nurse, is someone who has 11 months of training, also passes a state licensing exam. Their scope of practice is less robust than that of a registered nurse, although they do assessments and they give medications, document in the medical record. A registered nurse is someone who has either a two-year associate degree, a three-year diploma, certification, or a four-year baccalaureate degree, and all of them pass the same registered nursing test. And they have a more robust yet practice. And then a nurse practitioner is someone who has an advanced practice, a master's degree level.
And when you say more robust, what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, a nurse practitioner can order medication. A nurse practitioner in Massachusetts can hang out their own shingle and have their own practice. They are an autonomous being. A registered nurse in a hospital is responsible for patient assessment, care planning. Certain medications can only be given by a registered nurse. They can only, registered nurses are usually in more critical and acute care settings. They're more supervisory in nature.
Now, Like you, I have a practice that focuses heavily on medical malpractice. And one of the areas of concern that I see, and I'm sure you see in your practice, are patients who develop what are known as decubitus ulcers, more commonly known as bed sores. Could you tell us some of the medicine behind it? How does that all work?
Well, bed sores are a really interesting phenomenon. Basically, what it is a pressure injury, usually over bony prominences. Some of them are unavoidable. For example, patients who are in the operating room having open heart surgery, who are on bypass, despite the best of padding, some may get some pressure areas of pressure injury. And the important thing then is to recognize it immediately and in their postoperative care, keep the pressure off the area. Where pressure ulcers become a problem is when patients aren't turned or they're not padded appropriately for periods of time, and or areas of pressure injury start to develop that then go unrecognized and untreated.
Now, in terms of bed sores or pressure ulcers, there's a staging process. And how does that work? What is that all about?
There are different stages. It goes 1 to 4, and then there's unstageable. One is you see some redness over a bony prominence or an area of the skin. Stage 2, you may see sort of an open area. Stage 3, it's open and starts to get a little deeper. And stage 4 is full thickness through the skin and the fat, sometimes down to the bone. And that's really where you have a problem. Those are patients that need very aggressive treatment, not only locally at the area of the injury, but you have to look at their hydration and their nutrition and what medications they're on.
Now, as it relates to nursing liability, are stage 3 and stage 4 pressure sores or decubitus ulcers preventable?
To a very large degree, they are. And actually, starting, I believe, in 1991, there were some studies done in Harvard that looked at things called never events. And a never event is really defined as something that should never happen to a patient, given the wrong drug, given wrong site surgery, for example. And stage 3 and stage 4 pressure ulcers that are unavoidable, so not the ones that happen in the operating room with all the best padding, but from patients not being turned appropriately, the pressure sores not being recognized right away, are considered never events. So they are sort of de facto a deviation of the appropriate patient care in a patient who develops one.
So in other words, if a client comes to you and they claim that either they or a loved one, because typically these cases usually involve elderly people, typically in nursing homes, what do you take into consideration as to whether or not it's worth taking the case?
Worth taking the case. So if a family member comes to me and said, my loved one developed a pressure sore, and I'm in the middle of one of these cases right now, you have to look at where their nutritional and hydration status was in the beginning, where they recognized it being at risk, and then once a sore developed, how did it develop? Were they not being turned consistently or ambulated consistently? Was their nutritional status maintained? And then once the sore was recognized, what, if anything, was done about it? So in my case, I had a patient who was just coming in for rehab, for whom no care was given or thought was given to the pressure ulcer.
When we come back, we have Abigail Williams with us. We're going to talk about nursing malpractice and nursing liability.